More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. The term acoustic ecologist might be foreign to many of our ears, but one man wants to change that. Gordon Hempton is an Emmy Award-winning sound artist and author based in the northwest corner of the U.S. He'd likely prefer we describe his mission as one to save some of the world's dwindling quiet places so that people who live in them and those who visit can experience and be restored by that quiet. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz met Hempton in a hushed spot in rural Sheboygan County one chilly morning. We get a taste of Gordon Hempton's take on ecology and some of the sounds he's captured.
The sounds of dawn around the globe float through Gordon Hempton's head. He produced this compilation in 1990. I met Hempton on his 61st birthday in April. The Washington State native had just finished a series of talks and walks in nature preserves and environmental centers in the Milwaukee area and was about to catch a plane home. This is not the life trajectory Hempton plotted out when in his 20s. At age 27, he was about to become a plant pathologist. In fact, when the plan turned upside down, Hempton was on his way back to grad school, driving to UW-Madison from Washington State.
It happened in a thunderstorm, and I'd been in plenty of thunderstorms before, but this one I heard different. It was just a transformative experience for me. I felt, at the end of that thunderstorm, I wasn't a listener at all, that I was, like, going through this life and not really living it. So I dropped out of graduate school, and I didn't know who I was going to become.
For a while, he worked as a bike messenger in Seattle. Hempton says he picked up a microphone and started recording people's stories.
I didn't just, like, jump into nature. No, I started in the environment right around me, which was the city of Seattle. And I interviewed punk rockers.
He took to hopping freight trains.
And enjoyed the ride and went into the hobo camps, would record their stories, and I found them really lovely stories. That on one particular day when I was interviewing Bones and Lenny in the Wenatchee Yard, and they were telling about their very hard lives growing up, and also then we segued to how they salvaged scraps of aluminum and copper in order to buy each other Christmas gifts. And that's when it all came together for me that, you know, sound recording is not just sound recording. Sound recording is portraiture. Sound recording is a picture that can't be glimpsed. And it develops in the imagination of the listener. And that's when the whole thing just happened. I realized, wow, you know, I don't want to go in the studio and create something new. I want to find these special opportunities in the real world and share them.
So where did nature come in? Hempton says during long stretches waiting for the next freight train, he began to hear birds in the air between the sounds of the rail. Hempton says the esoteric question came to him and stayed there. Why does a singing bird sound like music?
They don't sing for our benefit, but it's music to our ears. And the human hearing, all right, a range of human hearing from 20 vibrations per second to 20,000 vibrations per second, we are not equally perceptive to sounds across that range from low to high frequency, but there's a very distinct bandwidth from 2.5 kilohertz to 5 kilohertz, which matches the resonant frequencies of the auditory canal where we have super sensitive hearing.
Hempton insists that sense links us to our ancestors.
That is the bandwidth that held the most critical information for their survival, to be able to hear faint sounds between 2.5 and 5 kilohertz in order to better survive. So the big question is, what is the human ear tuned for? And there's a perfect answer. It's birdsong. If you just take a whole bunch of sounds, frogs and add toads to keep them company and insects for them to eat, and then birds, and then you add howler monkeys from the tropics, then you add people, lots of people. If you add music that people are making, and then you have this great cacophony of the modern world, both man and natural, put together, and then you apply a filter where only the 2.5 to 5 kilohertz makes it through. What remains is birdsong. And there's a good reason why our ancestors had to hear birdsong in order to survive. Because they were nomadic hunters and gatherers. They needed to find places of prosperity. And birdsong is the number one indicator of habitats prosperous to humans. If the birds are singing, there's food, water, a favorable enough growing season to raise the young from the nest.
Hempton says the lessons of birdsong set the course of his life's work. He set out to record pure, free of noise pollution. Hempton discovered he had to travel further and further away from home to find it. Wherever you seek sounds of nature, pre-dawn, Hempton says, is prime time. Our visit to a small pond surrounded by beech, maple, and oak in Sheboygan County was several hours past prime time. Still, Hempton says, there's sounds to be had.
Oh, it's beautiful the way the sunlight is reaching across it right now. The pond is a perfect visual model for what quiet is. It's nearly glassy, not a perfect mirror. Just the slightest ripples right now. Here, let's see if I can find a rock. Oh, this twig will do. I'll use a piece of this twig. Now watch. See? That twig hits the surface, and watch the ripples as they go out towards the edge of the pond. The ripples continue to expand, and as they expand, they get smaller. It's an example of a sound event. Sound is made by events. There goes another twig. So that's a model of a sound happening, and the sound sends that information out in every direction. Well, in the real world, the sonic environment is, there's so much information, so many events that are creating sound in the real world. The model then becomes a light rain on the surface of the pond.
Hempton has taken his sound equipment to spots across the globe where natural sound is not yet swallowed up by human-made stuff.
I have heard a sound when standing in the Kalahari Desert with the naked ear coming from 20 miles away. All right? Well, think of that. 20-mile radius of a circle is more than 1,000 square miles.
Hempton still has a long list of places he hasn't been, where he wants to capture raw natural sound, and places to which he hopes to return, places like Zabalo, Ecuador, where the Cofan people live.
They are the most phenomenal listeners. I had my guide, Philip, say, "Do you hear that?" And I strained, I didn't. And he goes, he asked me again, "You hear it now?" "No." And he goes, "Monkeys." And I said, "How far away?" And he goes, "Quarter mile." Meanwhile, there are all these insects and birds and everything else. I don't know how he could discern it. And he goes, "They're coming this way." And sure enough, the monkeys showed up because the monkeys had heard us. Okay? And they were curious.
Hempton says both the quiet areas and its people's way of life are under siege.
They are a very self-sufficient tribe, but they do need money, basically to fight legal battles to defend their lands, because illegal poaching and mining essentially threaten their self-sufficient existence.
He hopes to help harvest its sounds.
Because they are also one of the world's last great quiet areas, I believe that they can harvest the sounds and sell them to commercial industries, which commonly buy licensed sounds for movies and everything. But anyway, there is an excellent opportunity to develop a very eco-friendly economy with these quiet places that deserve to be saved.
Hempton faces a few challenges himself, one central to his craft.
I'm right now in the middle of my second bout of hearing loss, and this is the
in
second.
In both ears?
No, in my left ear. So this is my first spring in 2 years that I've been able to hear the bird songs. I'm really thankful for that.
Hempton dismisses the inconvenience. He's too busy taking up the plight of the Kofan people, fighting noise pollution in principle, and protecting a spot very close to his backyard, Olympic National Park, which he hopes to have designated a no-flight zone.
Now think about that. There is not one place on planet Earth off limits to noise pollution. I used to think that it would take more than a generation or two before natural quiet would become extinct. And I'm 61. I hope to live a long life, but it could very well become extinct within my lifetime. The number one reason why that will occur if we don't, by legislative act, establish no-flight zones for civilian and environmental reasons. Air traffic has tripled since 1980, and FAA predicts that it will at least double, if not triple again, by 2025 compared to 2007 levels. So that pretty much spells the extinction of natural quiet. What is the importance of natural quiet in our lives? It's the perfect antidote to toxic noise. We really need to know that when we've had enough, we have a quiet place to go to. That's an important
thing. Hempton's been waging his Olympic Park crusade since 2005. He hopes to see legislation pass by 2016, the year the National Park Service celebrates its centennial. Hempton assesses his drive to save Earth's music as a bit on the preachy side.
Like, I'd been thinking, boy, you know, how can I not sound so preachy anymore? And then I realized, oh, you know, actually in my heritage, go back about three generations, and we had a few preachers in the family. So
that's unavoidable.
Yeah, so I've just sort of like said, go with it.
Hempton also has a personal preservation backup. He periodically allows himself the whimsy of this recording he made in 2000 in Switzerland. To add to their eating pleasure, the farmer treats his cows and pigs to a bit of music. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Gordon Hempton is known as the Sound Tracker and is founder of Quiet Planet, based in Washington State. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz met up with him when he was in Milwaukee recently for a talk at the Mequon Nature Preserve. That takes us to the end of the Tuesday edition of Lake Effect. Tomorrow on the show, the role a coffee shop plays in helping the area's veterans. Plus, a new theater company prepares to raise the curtain on its first ever production. I'm Mitch Tighe. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.